What's up, guys? You're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We record episodes and interview the very best experts from around the world and cover topics relating to health, success, mindset, business, and even social issues. And each week, we give you some of the best advice and information on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. Your elite life begins now. What's up, guys? It's Justin from Elite Man Magazine. In today's episode, I'm going to be doing a solo episode talking all about elite awareness and preparation. Now, these things go together quite well as far as living your everyday life and the things that you will come across in your life. And I wanted to do an episode on these two particular topics because I think it is so important and pertinent to what is currently going on in our world. In everybody's world listening to this right now, there's a crazy shift going on in how we've been living our lives as opposed to how we have lived our lives in the past, like the past few years, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5, 10 years ago, and what has happened in the past few months. Now, as you all know by now, my stance on the shutdowns and the pandemic and all this other stuff, you know where I stand on that. You also know where I stand on the politics of things. And I don't want to really get into that much today, but I do want to say one thing about that, which is being aware of what is happening right now is so important in your life for not only your safety, but that of your family and your loved ones as well. And I want to talk about a few different things and kind of dive into a number of topics today. But let me first just remind you to sign up for the Elite Man newsletter at elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter, the number one place to get all of our information, all the tips, strategies, techniques to being the best man you can be, and all of our information that we post as far as content goes. And that's the one place you can guarantee yourself will never be pulled out if we get censored from Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, from the podcast on Spotify, etc., which we've gotten censored in all those places at one point in time. The newsletter will always bring you the information you need. So go to elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter to sign up today for that. Also follow me on Parler at Justin Stenstrom. Parler is the one uncensored social media that's really taking off right now. I'm loving Parler as well. And I think it's going to blow up really soon because a lot of the people are getting sick of all the censorship on Facebook and also on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, all those big ones. People are getting censored like crazy. I've been getting censored for a while now on both of those things. And it's really aggravating for people that want to put out content and want to put out the truth about different things, and you can't do that. So Parler is a great place to find me with the non-censored information on social media. That's at Justin Stenstrom, as well as continue to follow me on Instagram at Justin Stenstrom as well, and on Facebook as well, where I'm posting content all the time, Elite Man Mag. But the number one place, of course, is always going to be the newsletter, elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter. Lastly, I do want to mention the website for Elite Life Nutrition was down for a couple hours the other day, and there was a few orders that got held back a little bit, but it's all set. It's all running now, and the products on there are incredible. We got all kinds of bundles, all kinds of things that we've put together to help you be your very best, to help you, and especially in times like this that are going on right now. We have all these crazy things happening. The stress is up like crazy. Your immune system's down like it's probably never been down before in your life. You want to have your immune system at its best. Of course, we're entering flu season. That's always a good thing to want to improve your immune system during that time. We got all incredible products on EliteLifeNutrition.com and all sorts of bundles as well that we put together that I think you guys are really going to love. So world-class vitamins, minerals, herbs, the best place, the most trusted place on the internet and in the world, EliteLifeNutrition.com, to get all your nutritional supplemental needs. And that's all I'm going to say for now about those stuff. Let's dive right back into the episode. And so what I want to talk about awareness in a number of different ways today. I want to cover it sort of in your personal life, in business, and also, of course, safety. And also, I mean, awareness applies to so many different things, to pretty much every area of your life. And again, I'm not going to really dive into what has gone on the past 7, 8 months with the shutdown and everything. And I'm not going to really get into politics, but I have mentioned this in the past where there's so many people that are just blind to the fact of what's really going on here, blind to the fact of what has happened. And yes, a lot of these people are called sheep. And a lot of people are going to start to hate me when, you know, or have hated me, and you know, you've seen different reviews, a lot of hate comments that I've gotten in the past few months for the different opinions I've expressed on the show. And when I say the word sheep, it kind of triggers people to start thinking a certain way. Again, I'm not going to dive too much into that in this episode, but it does give you an idea of the awareness of actually being aware of what's happening. What it's sort of like a bullshit filter that you have in life. And if you have this bullshit filter, you're able to see through people's bullshit. You're able to see through the media's bullshit when they're telling you something and you know it's not true. You know, when they tell you something that it just doesn't pass the sniff test, and you know just through your experience in life and through you being aware of how people are, how things are really, you know, how things are being fed to you and how they truly are, and how these two things don't quite align, you can see past a lot of the shit that they're trying to present to you. They see past the lies and, you know, the mainstream medicine as well. And I've been talking about this for years. And this is basically why we had the show in the first place, was to get past the bad advice that was out there. Now, we started off as a dating podcast, and that was to get past all the bad misinformation about dating, especially regarding guys, which was basically like, you know, just be your best self and the woman's going to love you, and, you know, just be honest with her and she's going to like you, and, you know, you know, take her out on a first date and kiss her, right? You know, at the end of the date, do that first date kiss and, you know, listen, like all that shitty information about dating that just never worked for anybody. It never worked for me, never worked for any people that I knew that needed help in dating. That's really where it all started, was the misinformation in dating. And the next thing was the misinformation in health. All of the fact that the chronic disease has gone up tremendously in the past 50 years, despite all the, you know, quote-unquote advances in research and all the money that we spend, especially in the United States I'm talking about, but of course all the developed countries, but United States, we spend the most money in the entire world and we're last in the entire world as far as chronic disease goes, and how much we have chronic disease. So, you know, go figure with that. Like, how are we spending all this money in, you know, medicine, yet we are in very last place as far as our health goes? And, you know, you ask any mainstream doctor, any mainstream medicine, medical researcher, and they'll just feed you a bunch of bullshit about pharmaceutical drugs and how we need more research, how we need more money, how we need to, you know, donate more money to do all this research and all these studies and tests and et cetera. And, you know, they've been doing this already for 50, 60, 70 years, and they've gotten absolutely nowhere with it. So not like there's anything wrong with going after technology, research, science. That stuff's all great, but to put all your eggs in that basket and to then turn around and say the people that are promoting holistic nutrition, holistic health, holistic medicine, you know, they're promoting herbs and homeopathy and naturopathic medicine and functional medicine, like to say all those people are quacks, or to say all those people are, you know, foolish, or they don't really, you know, help people, they don't help people heal. That's where, you know, that's where the problem really lies. And the truth is, those people really are helping people heal. Those functional medicine doctors, the naturopathic doctors, the alternative medicine doctors, those guys are saving people's lives way more. As far as chronic disease goes, anyways, you know, you have an accident and you need to go to the ER. The surgeon that's going to save your ass is, you know, incredible. He's saving so many lives every single day. I would never put that guy down. But I'm talking about chronic disease here. You know, the cancers of the world, the Alzheimer's, the Parkinson's, the heart diseases, the lung diseases, all the other ones that people suffer for years. The lupuses of the world, the fibromyalgias of the world, the autoimmune conditions that are just have blown up in the past 20 years, the autism rates that have just shot through the roof, and you know, a lot of that is correlated directly with the vaccines that have got also shot through the roof after the act they passed in 1986, I believe, where pharmaceutical companies didn't have to test their vaccines on the same level as they would test their other pharmaceutical drugs. So even pharmaceutical drugs are a lot safer than vaccines, and not to mention you couldn't sue vaccine companies after that. I forget what the act was, but it was under Reagan's presidency, and they passed it to try to get these pharmaceutical companies to make more vaccines. It was actually, I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe there was good intent behind it, but it totally backfired because you took away the incentive for these pharmaceutical companies to actually have the same type of scrutiny that they had for their other drugs. The vaccines just got pumped out ridiculously after the 1986 Act got passed. That law got passed. They just started putting out ridiculous amounts of vaccines. So basically, my generation, my parents' generation, got about 5 vaccines when they were children. And the current generation of children, current crop of children get about 70 doses of vaccines when they're children, up to the age of 18. So you just look at the numbers. They shot through the roof like 10x on the number of shots that they're getting and they're giving these kids, and the scrutiny is not there for their efficacy, for their safety, or even, in fact, their efficacy. But that's another story. And again, I don't want to dive into too many rabbit holes. I want to kind of stay on point because there is a lot of things I want to cover in this episode. But the point is you really need to be aware of what is being told to you, what the truth is, and having your radar on, having your bullshit radar on all the time and doing your own research. All the things that I say, some people will agree with what I'm saying, and some people will sort of be in the middle. They're like, okay, I never heard that before. Maybe what I just said about a minute ago about the vaccines, oh, I never really heard about that 1986 Act being passed. That's perfectly fine. You're in the middle. At least you're open to the fact. And by the way, I'm not even trying to say that you always have to agree with my opinion. I know when I said I was a fan of Trump a few months ago or a few weeks ago, that pissed a lot of people off. You don't have to love Trump. You don't have to agree with every opinion I have. You don't have to like everything I say. It's cool to have some disagreements, to have different sides and, you know, have different viewpoints on things. That's totally fine. But when I'm saying something like what I just mentioned a moment ago, I don't expect you to then hate me because I'm sharing the truth that I know to be true, what I've researched and done extensive research into looking into. That what I just said a moment ago is true. Now, you can either agree with me, which is great. You can either be open-minded to it and have not known that fact and be like, well, maybe I want to do some research myself. But to be like, oh, well, Justin's an asshole because he's saying that vaccines don't work and he's an anti-vax guy and, you know, he's a conspiracy theorist. To have that opinion without even doing your own real research into it and having an open mind and being like, whoa, I never really heard of that. That sounds kind of crazy. Let me look into it and double check this guy that he's not just like bullshitting me, because your bullshit radar should be up for everybody, including me, including anybody you listen to. So to have that stance of automatically shutting down is literally the opposite of what I'm talking about today. Again, you don't always have to agree with me, and you don't even have to agree with me after you do your research. But what I'm only asking really for you is to be open-minded. It's to not just shut me down when I say something that might be a little controversial or against what you've heard in the past to be true, against what you've heard on the news or mainstream media or these, you know, giant websites calling people anti-vaxxers or this or that, or, you know, saying people like what I just said a moment ago are nuts because, you know, they don't believe in vaccines. First of all, I do believe in vaccines. I just believe that vaccines should be healthy. Second of all, and more importantly, you should never shut somebody down without actually knowing what you're talking about and doing the research and having an open mind to at least get to the point where you can research and figure out for yourself. I don't care if you do your research and you figure out something else and you come up with a different viewpoint. That's totally cool. But don't ever shut somebody down because you don't initially think that what they're saying is true, or you don't initially like what they're saying, or you don't initially think that, you know, that what you've been told before has to be the truth. You're always the people that were most blind in this world are the people that cling to a viewpoint and they, you know, they will die with that viewpoint no matter what, no matter what evidence pops into them, into their vision without, you know, to contradict what has actually been told to them. They will die with that belief. They've married a certain belief system, and that's no matter whatever happens, they're going to die with that system. Those are the most blind people in the world, the blindest people in the world. Those are the sheeps of the world that will never get out of the problems that they're having. And it's not just, we're talking about, you know, health stuff right now. We're talking about vaccines right now in particular, but I'm talking about in general. If you have that type of closed off mindset, you're never going to be able to figure out your problems. You're never going to be able to take charge of your life. You're never going to be able to take ownership and responsibility of anything that comes your way, any challenge that comes your way, or obstacle that comes your way, because you're going to have a closed off mindset and you're not going to be able to count on yourself when it comes down to it. I'm telling you, it is a flawed way of thinking. It's a flawed way, actually, of living. And again, I'm not just saying you have to agree with the vaccine thing or anything else I say. You don't have to agree with anything I say. But all I'm asking for is for you to be open-minded, to have that open-mindedness. That's really the key here. That's really sort of the first step to all of this, is being open-minded enough to the fact. And I've shared this before. I'll share it again briefly with the Anthony Williams thing, the guy, the medical medium who, you know, I was huge into health. I'm still huge. I still am huge in health. It's the biggest thing I do in my life. But I researched everything under the sun. I turned over every single stone when I had this condition a couple of years ago, which I believe to be pre-Parkinson's condition. And I caught it very, very early. I caught it just in time, I believe, to reverse it. But I turned over every single stone, every single scientific study, article, paper ever written, and within the past few years, that was like, you know, quote unquote, cutting edge type of therapy for Parkinson's. And I went to dozens and dozens of doctors. And I live in Massachusetts, by the way, and we supposedly have the best doctors in the world, in the entire world, all within, you know, say 50 mile radius of where I live. And you know, I just kept going and reading all kinds of books and papers and this and that, and citing people and looking at all these diets and, you know, looking at the top health experts and seeing what they were doing and, you know, figuring out how to optimize my brain and, you know, reading all. And I interviewed tons of these people too. You can go back in the history of the archives of the podcast and see all the people I interview, all these doctors that were just coming on, all the doctors and just brilliant, brilliant guys with IQs, you know, close to, you know, 200. There was guys that we had on the show that had over 200 and right around 200. And, you know, just by listening to them, they'd come up with all these, but they would just speak incredibly complex things, incredibly complex scientific things. And, you know, they sounded so bright. They sounded so cutting edge. And, you know, they are very bright. They are fucking cutting edge in many ways. But they didn't have the solution that I needed. They didn't have the solution that would have helped me or that could help me. And they still don't. And, you know, it took me years and years and years to figure out the solution. And that solution, and it's not like I was, but I found the solution. I found the solution to my problem, again, which I label as a pre-Parkinson's type of thing. It was a chronic condition. It was severe, 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 severe for a couple of years. But had it for many years. And it just got progressively worse to the point where it was debilitating for a couple of years. But all these guys that I'm talking about here, it's not like I'm smarter than any one of them. You know, IQ-wise, they blow me out of the water. Medical-wise, they blow me out of the water. Research-wise, scientifically, they blow me out of the water across all fucking boards. Blow me out of the water. It's not like I had anything that these guys didn't have, except for one thing, I believe. Looking back on it now, I think there was one thing that separated me from them, from being a regular dude who was able to find the answer to my chronic debilitating condition. And I consulted and talked with literally hundreds of brilliant fucking people, like brilliant, brilliant people, hundreds of these people, and not one of them could help me, could reverse the condition or could help me reverse the condition. That they just couldn't. They didn't know how to do it. The one thing that separated me from them was my open mind, because they all had access to the information that I found that helped me reverse this chronic condition, this chronic disease that I had. They all had the same information. They had the same ability to access that information that I accessed. The difference is, I believe, is that sometimes you can be too smart for your own good or too close-minded for your own good. And I think a lot of these guys, most of them, some of them just never, I think, came across this information, you know, just whatever. They didn't stumble upon it. You know, it just didn't happen yet. Maybe they will soon. Maybe I should reach out to some of these guys and show them this guy, Anthony William, who has this fucking incredible information. You know, maybe I should do that. But I think a lot of these guys, honestly, even if I showed them this information, they would not be open to it. They're set in their ways in many ways, and they know one way of doing things. They know the scientific research, the studies, the, you know, testing, you know, some of them. I'm talking like a broad spectrum here. You know, there's so many guys on the spectrum where it's like, these guys are incredible and they still help so many people. Even if they didn't help me, whatever, they still help so many people. You know, the functional medicine doctors of the world, the naturopathic doctors of the world. And I'm also talking about the other spectrum where it's like just pharmaceutical drugs. You know, we need Pfizer and GlaxoSmithKline and, you know, all these, Moderna, we need these companies. Like, those are the worst doctors in the world, literally, the worst. They do pretty much nothing to help pretty much nobody. But I'm just kind of throwing these all in the same group for just to keep things simple. But so you put all these guys basically in the same basket, and I think the majority, overwhelming majority of them, almost all of them, would be closed-minded to the information that I came across. And that was this guy who had a special gift from who the hell knows what. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know. I believe him when he says he came from the spirit thing. I don't know that. I don't know that to be true. How can I prove that? How can anybody prove that? But what I do know to be true is the fact that he reversed my condition. And what I do know to be true before that, what I knew to be true before that, was that he reversed thousands of other people's condition. There's video testimonials like crazy. There's people crying in their videos. There are people taking pictures of their before and afters of, you know, their condition before and how they were basically crippled or paralyzed or had debilitating cystic acne and, you know, eczema all over their skin, and the after pictures where it's clear as hell and they look beautiful. And that's what I knew to be true. That's what I saw to be true. I saw all these videos and pictures and et cetera of all these people that actually swore by this guy and that swore that his celery juice worked and his heavy metal detox worked and, you know, the supplements that he recommended worked and this and that. I knew this guy to be true. I didn't know him to be true, but I knew that these people, I came across information, they all swore by him. And I don't see, and I've never seen anybody, anyone, any of these guys, you know, in the doctor pool, and I'm throwing these guys all in one again, which probably isn't fair to a lot of these guys, but I never seen that with anyone else before. I never seen that type of proof before. And so that gave me enough open-mindedness to try it out. I didn't know who the hell this guy was. I didn't know if he was batshit crazy, but I kind of had a hope and a belief and an open-mindedness enough to try it out and see what it would do, how it would go, where it would go from. I didn't know if it was going to work, but I was willing to take that try and willing to put it out there and try it, because I tried so many other things on the other side of things, listening to so many brilliant people, these guys with some of them with IQs of 200 or close to it, and none of it worked. But this one dude who's crazy, I was crazy enough to believe that maybe he actually was legit. Maybe when he said he was talking to a spirit, he wasn't lying, he wasn't bullshitting. And maybe he did have advanced information that nobody knew about. And guess what? He actually did. This guy actually did. He was legit. He was legit. It worked. And if it didn't work, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. I wouldn't even have the podcast anymore, to be quite honest. I definitely wouldn't have this. And so that's what it's really all about, is having that open-mindedness. That's really the first step. It's the biggest and most important step, I believe, to all this, to really all of this stuff. It's to have the open-mindedness to believe that things are possible, that not everything that you see or that people tell you is true or that you can perceive with your eyes is what's out there. In fact, what you can see with your eyes, visible light, is like less than 1% of the entire spectrum of light. You know, what we can actually perceive and what we can see isn't actually all that's there. In fact, it's a very small amount. It's less than 1% of what's really out there. We can't see gravity, for instance. We can't see electricity at work. We can't see EMFs. We can't see, you know, Wi-Fi. We can't see words. We can hear words, but we can't see words when people speak. All these things are real, though. We know that something's happening for, you know, the sound to get to our ears. We know that, you know, the electricity is really there. We know that gravity is really there, or we'd be, you know, floating around like astronauts on the moon. There's some things that we can't perceive. There's some things that we can't explain. We're still, as advanced as we think we are, we've gotten incredibly advanced the last 50, 60 years with technology. But as advanced as we think we are, we believe that we are, we're really just a drop in a bucket of, you know, the universe. And there's so much more out there and so much more that we don't know than we do know. And to have, I think one of the biggest mistakes people make is thinking that they know everything and being closed-minded to anything else that pops up, to being set in your ways and not being open to the new shit that's going to pop up and that's going to change your perspective and perception on things. That's always going to happen. You should always be evolving in life. And trust me, if you look at this podcast over the years, 6 or 7 years I've been doing the show, my perspective on life has changed dramatically since I first started this thing and where I'm at today. And I think in a few more years, it's going to be dramatically changed even more. But back to awareness. So when you're thinking about awareness and you're thinking about your environment, it's so important to be thinking ahead, to be anticipating others' moves, their actions, what you think they're going to be doing before they actually do them. You want to, especially if we're talking about, like, you know, your enemies, you want to know what your enemy is going to do. It's kind of like the art of war here. You got to understand your enemy better than you understand your friends, or keep your friends close but your enemies closer. You want to anticipate what they're going to do so then you can make your moves. And you can know and be ready for their reactions and their counters to your moves. So when you understand kind of where they're at, you then can plan out your moves and then understand better what their reactions and counters are going to be. So then you can, you know, react and counter to that. And just it's basically, I'll be honest, it's life is a chess game, but it's too many people believe they're playing checkers, and that's why they never get ahead. People think that life is a checkers game, and not literally they think it's a checkers game, but people act, they do certain things, they go about their life thinking that life is checkers, but it's really a chess game. Checkers is a basic, simple game. Any idiot can pick up checkers, and, you know, a five-year-old can play checkers and be pretty decent at it. There's not too many five-year-olds that can pick up chess and be decent at chess. And there's a reason why people look up to, you know, the Bobby Fischers of the world, the Magnus Carlsens of the world, the Garry Kasparov, I believe his name, the Kasparovs of the world, these guys that were just like legends in the chess world, and why, and they look up to their, they look up to them because it's such a more complex game. It takes a lot more intelligence to be great at chess than to be great at checkers. And chess is all about planning ahead. It's understanding your opponent and figuring out what they're going to do, what they're trying to do, how they're trying to set a trap for you, and then countering that. Because once you know what they're trying to do, then you can set your own traps and make them fall for it. You can even put a feint kind of and lead them into believing that, you know, their trap's going to work. And in the meantime, when they step into that trap and try to trap you, little do they realize that they've just fallen into your own trap. That's what chess is all about. That's what life is all about. It's understanding the situation. It's being aware of your environment, being aware of those people in your environment, and understanding how to set traps, not necessarily traps in the way of, like, you know, every day, if you're on your friends, if you're on your girlfriend, or, you know, you're around people you trust or love, you don't have to set traps for them. But as far as, like, you know, people that may be your enemies, people that may be your competitors, people that may be trying to, you know, get money off you, people that may be, if you're in tougher environments, people that may be trying to rob you or steal from you or potentially jump you, beat you up, people that may try to kill you if you're in a really bad environment, or if shit hits the fan, and which I'll get to in a moment, if there's all kinds of chaos going around all around you, you got to know your enemy, you got to know the people around you, you got to know your environment, you got to be aware of everything, you got to think ahead, you got to anticipate these guys' moves, otherwise you will fall victim to them and they will be taking over whatever it is that you have or whatever it is that you want. They will grab that. And by the way, we're talking about awareness here. It's about being aware of everything that's going around in your environment, being aware of the little things, picking up on people's body language, their tone of voice, understanding their motives, their desires, their wants. What are they in for? What are they trying to do? What are they trying to accomplish? And I mentioned a moment ago, like, when shit hits the fan and there's chaos around you, and this is what it's all about being aware of the world and the current events. Because honestly, and again, I'm not going to dive too much into this, but I want to put it out there as sort of a warning, not to make you scared, not to, you know, put any fear into you, but to make you aware of the potential for what is actually really happening in the world. If you're in, especially if you're in the USA, of course, because this is where I'm from, this is what I'm referring to most, but it is actually going to affect other countries around the world. So be prepared for that as well. If you live, say, in the UK or Australia or wherever else, I know there's fans from all over the place and listeners from all around the world, which I appreciate, but especially if you're in the US, United States, because of course the election happened last month and there is a lot of controversy that has gone on with the election. There's a lot of shit going down right now that And here's the craziest thing. The mainstream media is not covering a lot of the shit that's happened. There's been a lot of fraud allegations and a lot of evidence, believe it or not, with the fraud and with the election. And there's been over 1,000 eyewitnesses to specific election frauds. And by the way, these people signed affidavits under perjury, under the potential for perjury. So if they're caught lying in these affidavits, they can go to jail for up to, I believe, 5 years. So over 1,000 people signed these affidavits saying they witnessed election fraud. And, you know, this is being contested in courts, et cetera. You know about that. You know as much about that right now. Giuliani and Powell and Ellis and Linwood and these guys, these characters that are contesting and fighting for President Trump to get a second term. Those of you who listen to my show know I try to make mindfulness part of my daily routine. I try to do some type of meditation practice every single day, whether it be for 10 minutes, half hour, or even an hour sometimes. I've tried some meditation apps to help, but I don't get the hype. My results have been inconsistent at best. Even the big name apps out there, I've tried them in the past, I just didn't really like them, didn't feel comfortable with them, and they really didn't help me to actually get into the zone and meditate. I felt like I needed a lot more, so I tried NuCalm. And I gotta be honest, NuCalm is incredible. From the first minute I tried it, the first time I used it, I absolutely loved it. With NuCalm, it takes just a couple of minutes to get relaxed and feel like I'm in the meditative zone, and then that's where all the magic really happens. I've been using NuCalm every day for the past few weeks, and it's like my midday charge-up. I use it every day in the afternoon, and it's like my midday boost to get me in the zone, to have that meditation practice, and then when it's over, feel incredible for the rest of the day. NuCalm gets you into a deep transcendental meditative state every time. No matter if you're just starting your mindfulness practice or you have been meditating for years, NuCalm will allow you to make the most of your mindfulness sessions. NuCalm is the only system of its kind clinically proven in over 1 million sessions to improve your sleep, reduce your stress, and boost your recovery without drugs and side effects. The NuCalm system uses cutting-edge neuroscience and consists of 3 non-invasive and non-pharmaceutical items, all of which are included in your monthly subscription that costs less than a daily cup of coffee. The whole process is easy to use and work into your daily routine to achieve better sleep, reduce stress, and boost your recovery. Do what I did. Own the day with NuCalm. We have a special link set up specifically for our listeners. Go to EliteNuCalm.com and get 50% off your 30-day subscription of NuCalm and their money-back guarantee. That's Elite, NuCalm.com. Elite. NuCalm.com. Whether he wins this or not, and again, I'm not going to get too much into this in this episode because I want to focus on other things, but whether he wins the battle in the courts, which if you look at the mainstream media right now, they'll tell you he has zero chance. I'm telling you he actually has a really good chance of winning in these courts. And, you know, take that with a grain of salt, you know, do your research, figure it out yourself, but don't just listen to what the narrative has been, because the narrative of the mainstream media has been wrong for a long, long time. And I'm just going to say that as far as, you know, politics go, but I do think he has a decent chance of winning. Now, whether he wins or not, though, is what I'm getting at with my point here. And by the way, he can do other things too, even if he loses in the courts, which kind of leads into what I'm saying as well. He could actually stay president, become the 46th president, without actually winning in the Supreme Court. That's a long and different story, but there are ways for him to keep power. But what I'm saying is, and by the way, if I had to bet right now, I'm saying that Trump is going to remain the 46th president, whether he wins it through the courts or whether he wins it through another way. Now, no matter what happens, though, is my main point here. Whether he wins or not, whether he becomes 46th president or whether Biden becomes 46th president, there most likely is going to be chaos in the United States after, I believe it's January 20th, Inauguration Day. And January 6th, I believe, is the final day that the election, Electoral College votes and they do all that stuff. The 14th is like kind of a soft deadline. So even the narrative on that, and they say that the 8th, which is the day this podcast is being released, is sort of a lie. Like you've been getting fed this lie of like there's a deadline of the 8th where all these Electoral Colleges have to, and then, you know, Trump's case is over after the 8th or it's over after the 14th. It's actually not. The Electoral College doesn't really sign off on it officially until the 6th, and then the inauguration would be like the 20th. He's got time. He's got plenty of time. It's not like a, not plenty of time, but he has a lot more time than what you've been led to believe. But again, in either instance, in either way, whether he remains president and becomes the 46th president, or whether Biden becomes the 46th president, there's most likely going to be chaos in this country. Because on the right, you have a lot of the patriots, you have a lot of the people who believe that this election, and honestly, let's be quite honest, this election was stolen. The fraud is unbelievable. When you actually dig into some of the information, the fraud is unbelievable. It was stolen. And there's even poll out there that believe like 47-48% of voters believe that, all voters believe that, and that's Democrats and Republicans, that the election was stolen in Biden's favor. And then I think there's another poll that says like maybe 80 or something percent believe that, of Republicans believe that the election was stolen in favor of Biden. And you look at the information, you look at all the, eyewitness testimonies, you look at the video evidence that just came out with those people pulling out those suitcases of ballots and kicking all the observers out and then putting like 20,000 or so ballots all for Biden in the middle of the night. I mean, and that's just one little tidbit of evidence. There's so much evidence. But again, you have on the right all these patriots and conservatives and people that have been doing all these rallies and the people that just love America and what it stands for right now, and they love Trump. They absolutely love Trump, and they believe this election, again, for good reason, was stolen from President Trump. And if Biden wins, you're going to have shitloads, like millions upon millions upon millions of the 70, I believe, 4 officially million voted for Trump. You're going to have not all of them, because some of them just picked him, you know, kind of like as the lesser of two evils in their eyes. But you're going to have a lot of fucking people, probably 40-50 million people, that are going to be bullshit pissed. And they're not going to be happy when Biden gets in. So there's going to be a lot of fighting. There's going to be a lot of unrest for a while. And if Trump does win now, because the narrative has been that Biden won the election, it's cut and dry, it's over with. If Trump somehow pulls it off in the Supreme Courts, which there's actually a decent chance that he does that, they're going to go batshit crazy on the left. You got Antifa, you got these radical fucking leftists, you got these people that are just fucking crazy. They hate Trump anyways. And now you just basically, you gave him a false start. You basically gave him a pump fake. Yeah. It's like winning the World Series and the confetti comes out and the fireworks come out and you're celebrating and you take off your jersey and you're throwing your hats around and they're parading all around and fans rush the field and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden the umpires get together and they convene for a couple of minutes and then they say, oh, wait a second. You know, he forgot to tag home plate. He's automatically called out and the other team wins. So get all your shit off the field and the other team's coming back on and they're going to celebrate. It's basically like the how bullshit with all the fans that rush the field and all the players and all, you know, how bullshit would they be? They'd be pretty pissed. And that's what's going to happen if, and I believe when, Trump remains in office. They're going to just go crazy. They're going to be fucking going nuts. There's going to be, you think the whole, the riots of the BLM, the Black Lives Matter riots of the summer and all the unrest of, Minneapolis and Seattle and Portland and throughout the country and Kenosha and, you know, all these places where they burned down entire blocks of cities and buildings and they looted and they stole and some people got killed and many got hospitalized and beaten. You think that was bad? Wait till Trump stays in office. It's going to get really fucking bad. It's going to be hell. It might actually quite honestly become a civil war, because on one hand you got all these people who want to take over and have Biden become the new president. And they want to radically change the country. And on the other hand, you have the people that want to basically keep America as it is and keep the systems that we have in place as they are. And there's just such a competing narrative. There's just a competing interest there of two polar opposites. And then you have basically one team who thought they won the game. And then all of a sudden they get pulled out and all their hopes and dreams and aspirations are gone. They're going to fucking go batshit crazy across every major city in this country. Caldera Lab has high-performance men's skincare, and it combines pharmaceutical-grade science, nature's purest and most potent ingredients, and sustainable business practices. They have a product called The Good, which is a clinically proven, multifunctional, non-toxic formula of 27 active botanicals meticulously infused over 4 weeks in an EcoCert Cosmos certified facility. It's formulated with wild harvested, non-GMO, and organic ingredients and is a lightweight, all-in-one treatment designed to restore, nourish, and protect a man's skin. Caldera Lab is the first men's skincare in the USA to be certified by both EcoCert and Made Safe. I've tried The Good now for a number of weeks and I absolutely love it. I gotta be honest, I wasn't quite sure if I'd love it because I'm not a huge skincare guy and I haven't taken a ton of different skincare products in the past. Although I've taken a few, I didn't really love the results I got with them. But after taking The Good for just a couple of days, I noticed almost right away how more refreshed and nourished and just overall better looking my skin felt and looked. The Good really is that good, and that's why I'm recommending it for you guys to take as well. It really is, in my personal opinion, the very best skincare product for men on the market. And by the way, GQ agrees with me as well. They call it the best natural face serum for men. So whether you're tackling dry skin, acne scars, wrinkles, or just want to do you and invest in healthier skin, kind of like me, this is the one product I recommend using. So try it right now. I'm telling you, you're going to absolutely love this serum. It is incredible. But for whatever reason, if you don't love it, there is a 100% risk-free guarantee. So if you don't love it, you can send it back, get a full refund. Right now, Caldera has a special offer for our audience. Receive 20% off your first Caldera Lab purchase of The Good. Go to calderalab.com and use discount code ELITEMAN, one word, all caps, at checkout. That's CalderaLab.com and use the code ELITEMAN for 20% off your first order. That's the left. If Trump stays in office, which I actually think he's going to at this point, there's going to be crazy civil unrest and potentially even a civil war. Now, again, on the other hand, if Biden somehow is able to steal that election and stay in office, you got all these people right here on the right who feel like everything was stolen from them. And they're probably going to want to fight back. And I don't think they're ever going to accept Biden as being a legitimate president when they had so much fraud and evidence and, you know, eyewitnesses and video evidence even. And the Dominion thing, the whole Dominion software of switching votes and all this other stuff. And I mean, there's just so much that the right is going to be pissed off about. And I could literally see a civil war breaking out. No matter who wins, like no matter who becomes the 46th president, there may be a civil war breaking out. And the whole point of this entire little tangent is to be prepared for it. You got to fucking be prepared for it. Again, even if you voted for Biden, I still care for you. I still love you. I still love you, even though you might be pissed that I am a fan of Trump's. You might be pissed that I voted for Trump. That's cool. I still, as a fan of the show, I want you to be safe. I want you and your loved ones to be safe. I want you to be happy. And I'm still rooting for your success. Now, we may disagree politically and have polar opposite views politically. And I have, and by the way, I have family members that have polar, I have family members that agree with me. I also have family members that have polar opposite beliefs politically than I do. I still love them. I still care for them. I still want them to be happy, succeed, and be safe. And that's what I feel for you. Now, I'm just saying this because I'm warning you of the potential for something crazy to happen. You thought, before 2020, nobody thought this, you know, a virus could shut down the country and the world and fuck up everybody's lives like it has the past 9 months, 10 months, actually, well, even, yeah, 10 months now. Nobody thought that was even possible. It was like a bad movie, like a shitty, you know, Hollywood movie that would probably have, you know, flopped at the box office. It was just that bad of a story. But it happened. And as crazy as civil war sounds or revolution in America in 2021, it's very possible. Is it likely? I don't know if I would say likely, but I'd say very, very possible. And what I'm saying right now regarding awareness and you being aware of your environment and your surroundings and being safe is be prepared for it. We have a Second Amendment right in this country, the right to bear arms. I highly, highly suggest that you exercise that right within the next couple of weeks or next couple of days, because in the next couple of months, shit might get crazy. That's all I'm going to say regarding that. And I think as someone who loves and cares for all his fans and supporters on the Elite Man podcast, I feel like I was obligated to tell you that in case you weren't aware, because, you know, some things you can overlook, or maybe, you know, you're listening to a certain station, they're not covering that fact. It could get crazy. It could certainly get crazy, and you want to be prepared. As far as being prepared and being aware, like we're going to talk about, and we have talked about a little bit, but we're going to talk about a little bit more, you want to be prepared for a potential of crazy civil unrest to happen, potentially even a civil war or revolution to happen. You got to protect your family. You got to prepare and load up on the essentials, the water, the canned food, that type of stuff. You want to be, you know, make sure you have the basics stored for at least 6 months out, I would say 3 to 6 months out for sure, because who the hell knows what's going to happen. This could affect the foods, it could affect the food supply, the grocery stores, the, you know, truckers who drive all our materials across the country. Like, who knows what could happen? Shit could get really, really crazy, and you want to be able to stay safe, have food, and defend yourself if you need to. As far as the awareness goes for general, say, life. So a dating example of being more aware is, and there's examples for family safety, for personal safety, for dating, for business, for friendships, for across the board, we have examples of being more aware, having that elite awareness of your surroundings and not being a sheep, not thinking closed-minded, not having a, I see this all the time too, of having like tunnel vision when you're out, and especially in public. Like, it's one thing to be sitting on your couch and be messing around on, you know, Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram and just kind of like scrolling through, although that is such a waste of time and a time suck. You could be doing more productive things. I occasionally will do that too if I'm sitting on my couch or whatever. Everybody gets bored. You want to do stupid shit. Perfectly fine. It's one thing to do that. It's another thing, you know, in your home. It's another thing to be out in public and doing that shit, you know, in the street or at the grocery store or, say, at the bar. Your head down in your phone and you have no fucking idea of what's going on around you. You have no idea of your environment. You're not aware of your environment. You're not aware of the people around you. You're not aware of the potential danger that is around you. And you're an easy target for people who want to take advantage of people who are not aware. And that's a big problem. So you want to be as aware and prepared as possible when you go out to society. When you go out, and especially now with like the mask, it kind of, and the whole lockdowns and everything, kind of made things more amplified in a way. And, you know, it's like you see people walking around with the mask, you can't really judge them. You can't get a gauge on them as well as you could have before, because obviously the face reveals a lot. You can see somebody's smile. You can see, you know, their cheekbones raising up. You can see their eyes better. I mean, the mask doesn't really cover the eyes, but you can. It all goes together to form a picture. We have developed this ability to read people's facial expressions, and it all goes into one. Like, even having a mask can cover the lower part, like under the eye, that area of skin, and the patterns of how that is shaped when someone's making a certain type of face, the facial structure contorts itself into a certain way for us as human beings to be able to read those patterns, even without even knowing we're reading it, to process somebody's face and to get a good idea of what that person is thinking and how they're going to behave. That all has kind of been thrown away with this pandemic in many ways. Like, we can still read people, and that's what this is all about. We still have to be able to read them, but we can't read them as well. We can't read them as good. And a lot of these people have their faces covered up almost completely to the point where they look like they're robbing a bank. And of course, when people have like a ski mask on, that's the reason why they have a ski mask, so that you can't identify that person. So it just makes things even more complex and even more dangerous potentially if you can't read this person, or if you're not aware enough to even know that someone's around you, someone's close to you. But you gotta be aware of this even still, as much as it has gone tougher for you to read people. You can't just neglect it altogether. I see so many people, by the way, and I've mentioned this before in a couple podcasts, but I see so many people texting and walking all the time. Like, they'll have their head down into their phone and they're walking. And, you know, you've seen it. There's videos of it too. I've never actually seen this in person, although I've seen a couple people come close where they're like walking and texting at the same time, and they almost walk into a, you know, a light pole or a stop sign or whatever. Like, they're walking to a wall, or I've seen somebody trip before when they're texting and they just kind of like stumbled over their feet and they fell flat on their face, which is kind of funny actually. But I've never seen somebody like walk into a wall, but I've seen in person, by the way, but I've seen videos of that, and it's actually quite comical as well. I also have seen in person many, many times. I used to drive by this college all the time, and I would see young college students. It tends to be younger, by the way, younger people, as opposed to, I mean, everyone does it, but it seems like younger people do it more. Maybe like a 20-something, you know, 20, 22-year-old, 18-year-old kids walking around. And so many, and by the way, literally every time I drove by this college, I would see this happening. And it's over and over and over again. And it just kind of drove me, like, not really, I kind of didn't really get upset. I just kind of felt bad for these people, to be honest. I'm like, this person's just an idiot, and they're going to get creamed. But I would see these people talking and walking and texting, having their head down on their phone and just walking across the street as if they're Moses and they're like parting the sea, as if every car is going to notice this one individual walking because they just decided to walk across the street. Everybody's going to stop and they're going to be safe and, you know, everything's going to work out fine because this holy person texting on their phone just decided that they wanted to randomly cross the street and, you know, the whole way was going to be parted for them and they were going to be fine. And I just thought to myself so many times that that person one day soon is going to get fucking creamed by a car that doesn't see them, that also perhaps may be texting and driving at the same time. Or perhaps they're just, you know, switching their car, their volume up on their radio station or changing the channel. Or, you know, maybe they drop something and they're kind of reaching down for it in the car. Any number of these things, they maybe the sun's in their eyes a little bit and they can't quite see as good. And, you know, for whatever reason, it happens all the time, though. It happens all the time. These people are not aware. They're not aware of their environment. They're not aware of their surroundings. They're foolish. And these are the type of people, by the way, who are the sheeps that I mentioned. The people who think that the world basically revolves around them are the people who are the sheeps in the world. The people who actually don't get it, the people who don't understand how life is and how life is played and how life is a chess game. These guys are playing checkers and basically thinking that, you know, everything is going to be fine and that everything just works out because it just, you know, that's how it is. The checkers is a very easy game. There's not really any big consequences in checkers games. It's not, you know, checkers to the death games. But chess is the game of life, and these people are not playing it. And these texters and walkers are not playing it. The texters and drivers are not playing it, by the way. And, you know, using your phone and not being aware of your surroundings are the same people, too, that are easy targets for muggers or even kidnappers or people that are just walking around trying to be dicks. And, you know, the knockout game that they were doing a couple of years ago, which, you know, was a scumbag thing to do where people would just walk around the city and just knock people out. They were just kind of like, you know, not really paying attention. When I walk by somebody all the time on the street, I'm looking at them. I'm judging them. I'm sizing them up. I'm understanding right away if this person is a potential threat or if they're not a threat to me. I look everywhere all the time. And, you know, you might say that that's not a good idea. That's, you know, prejudice because I'm judging people or, you know, why do you want to like live that way and always be like thinking about that? It's not about like living in fear. It's not about living scared because I'm never scared. It's not about like living like a certain way. Like you always have to be living like on the edge and not like you're never comfortable. Or you're never happy. You're never sad. It's not like that at all. It's about being prepared. It's about preparing for the worst. It's about being aware so that you can prepare and that you can keep yourself safe or your family or your loved ones safe. Or if, you know, I'm walking with a girl in the street, girlfriend or whatever, and I'm, you know, I'm paying attention to the conversation that we're having. I'm, you know, talking to her or whatever else. And it's not like I'm not there, but if someone, and you know, if we're by ourselves, then I'm totally there. But then if I see something, like, you know, movement, my focus then shifts to that movement for a minute so I can judge what's happening. I can size somebody up. I can see their body language. I can see how they're acting, how they're walking, how their face is. I can understand, I can figure out, maybe not 100%, but most, you know, most of the time, 95% of the time, what they're doing, what they're going to do, whether they're a potential threat, whether I got to worry about them, whether I should shift to the other side of the street, whether I should, you know, be prepared to, you know, swing at this person if they get too close to me. You know, all those types of things go through my head, and I'm instantly, like within a second or two, preparing myself for something to happen, for something, whether nothing, which is good, walking right past that person is perfectly fine. It's, you know, nodding my head or saying what's up is what I prefer 99 times out of 100, or something else to happen. I'm preparing myself for the worst case if that has to happen, or if I believe that to be what's going to happen. Those are the types of things that you have to have. That's the type of awareness that I'm talking about here, is understanding people, understanding your environment, understanding situations when they pop up in your life, because they will pop up. They do pop up all the time. This is just called, and I've interviewed guys that, you know, FBI, you know, experts and body language experts and people that read people on the dime. It is, they'll all tell you the same thing. That, and you interview, you talk to any detective or, you know, officer or FBI agent or CIA agent or even Navy SEALs. Like, these guys are all aware of this type of thing, of understanding your environment, reading people, being aware of what's happening so you can prepare for it and you can understand it. And you can put yourself in the best situation to succeed in any type of situation. That's really what it's all about. And it's so important to understand exactly, you know, what to do and to have this type of mindset, like not to live in fear, not to walk around like you're, you know, shitting your pants everywhere because, you know, people are bigger than you, or you might not be the toughest guy, or, you know, you don't want to fight people. It's like, you know, you don't have to fight people, actually. You don't have to fight people to be safe. And there's women listeners to this Elite Man podcast, many women listeners, in fact, and, you know, women obviously aren't great fighters when it comes to going up against men. 99 times out of 100, they don't have a chance. But women listeners and women in general, just like knowing this type of advice, they just, like, the first thing they teach you in any basic self-defense class is understanding your environment, understanding, you know, how to be safe and, you know, put yourself in the best odds of succeeding and coming out of a situation alive and intact. And, you know, there's other defenses as opposed to just fighting. There's the running method. I mean, you have to run away from somebody. There's, you know, arming yourself with something. Again, the Second Amendment is a great thing. Even if you, and if you're a woman and you don't believe in guns or whatever else, I think that's foolish. But if you don't believe in guns, or you don't carry a gun, or you didn't have time to get a gun yet, you can always get something like pepper spray if you're a woman, or even if you're a guy and you're not a big guy, there's nothing wrong with that as well. There's also walking across the street to the other side of the street. There's also walking in groups. There's also walking in light and daylight. There's also, you know, not going out in certain hours. There's also staying away from certain areas, certain streets that have a bad reputation or may not be the safest or may not have the best lighting, or... there's just so many examples of keeping yourself safe in situations and, you know, reading people in situations to help you survive those situations and to be okay in those situations. You have to have the awareness. The awareness is really the most important thing when it comes to being safe, is being aware of what's happening and then understanding what you have to do to keep yourself safe because you're aware of what's happening. If you're not aware of what's happening, shit's already going down before you even know what's happening. And by then it's too late. If you're not aware of who's around you, you're already getting beat off the head by something. You've already been, you know, sucker punched in the back of the head, or you've already been whacked by a pipe in some guy's hand who's trying to rob you, or some guy who's trying to kidnap you. It's already too late. You've already been stabbed, potentially, if somebody wants that nice watch on your wrist or that nice gold chain on your neck. You know, these things happen all the time in every major city in America, every major city probably in the world. And, it's always to the people that are not aware, they're not paying attention. You really have to have that elite awareness if you want to be safe in your environment, if you want to be safe with your family. And then, of course, the preparation. Preparation is big, too. The preparation is key for all this, because once you're aware of the things around you, then you can prepare for either the best case or the worst case or anything in between. You know what you have to do in your mind. You can mentally prepare. You can get ready. And again, like chess, you're preparing for the person's next moves. You're preparing ahead. You're moving 2, 3, 4 steps ahead of that person. And by the time they're ready to act, and if they're ready to do some harm or do something bad, you've already prepared for them to do that thing. You've already waited, you've already anticipated, and you're already knowing what they're going to do. So then you can even set that trap, like I talked about earlier. You can set them up. They're thinking they're setting you up. Meanwhile, you got them read like a book, and they're falling into your trap. I got this. I think I've kind of always had an innate ability to read people, to be quite honest, but I didn't really have this awareness and this ability to prepare about things until I started riding a motorcycle. And I started riding a motorcycle close to 10 years ago, maybe give or take a couple of years, something like that, 10 years ago. But it's always, and this actually made me a better driver in general. It did. The riding a motorcycle, you don't really have second chances. Now, of course, there's some people that will get into a crazy accident going 80 miles an hour and they have a nice helmet and whatever. They, by God's good grace, they survive that and they live to tell the tale. I actually know somebody who had, or at least claimed to, I don't know if he was going 80 miles an hour, but he said he was going 80 and he got into a crazy motorcycle accident and he is walking around like nothing ever happened to him today. So, you know, those people are out there, they do exist, but for the most part, if you're riding a motorcycle, you don't really have too many second chances. It's pretty much, if you get cream going, you know, fast on the bike, on the motorcycle, you're dead. And that's it. And you know, even if you have a nice helmet, oftentimes you're still dead or paralyzed for life. And that's, to me, honestly, probably worse than death. So knowing this information and being told this information many years back, I rode the motorcycle with an awareness like you wouldn't believe. It was awareness and it was a preparedness of the environment around me at all times, every second of being on that bike, because I love the bike. I love going fast. I love, you know, cruising through the city, cruising through the country roads. And it's just an incredible feeling. It really is. Anyone's ever rode in a motorcycle knows exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't, it's similar to, say, like skiing, if you ever did skiing or snowboarding. It's just a cool, like free and, you know, open, and it's a badass feeling. It's a great feeling. But like I said, you don't get second chances really on a motorcycle, and you got to be aware of everything happening. So there's been many close calls on the motorcycle for me, many, many close calls in the last decade or so of riding the bike. Where people, you know, would cut out in front of me, or they would swerve over into my lane, or they would blow a stop sign and, you know, almost hit me. And sometimes there was a couple, only a couple of times where it was something stupid that I did, like a mistake that I did, where I almost, you know, got into an accident and probably killed myself on the bike. It was really bad a couple of times. But most of the time, honestly, quite honestly, the overwhelming majority of the time, it was somebody else's fault where they did something really stupid and like almost hit me and, again, almost killed me on the bike. The only reason, though, I survived and do survive and safely ride these motorcycles still is because of my awareness of what's happening. And so when I'm riding on the motorcycle, I'm constantly aware of everything that's happening around me. I'm aware of say I'm on the highway, I'm aware of the cars all the way on both sides of me. I usually don't go in the middle lane, but I'll be on the left lane. Actually, it's easier in the left lane. It's safer in the left lane, in my opinion, because you only have to really worry about the people on the right. So one lane. If you're in the middle lane, you're worrying about people on both sides. If you're in the left lane, you're in the slow lane, which is actually the exiting lane. So people are usually cutting off or cutting you off or taking a right and getting off the exit, slowing you down. And you have to slow down. The people are going to hit you from behind. The left lane is actually the safest lane in my view, for motorcycles or bike or cars, for the most part. You know, people will say a different, but I truly believe that the left lane is the fastest lane. I mean, the safest lane. It's also the fastest lane, but it's also, I believe, the safest lane. And so, you know, I'll be riding there and I'll be looking at the cars behind me. I'm looking at the cars to the side of me, looking at the cars, you know, a quarter mile in front of me, looking at all the cars around me and just seeing like what they're doing. I'm not hearing obviously at what they're doing the entire time, but I'm glancing at them every few seconds or so, and just kind of being aware of how close they're getting to me, if they're catching up on me, if they're creeping up on me, if they're getting, you know, too close to me, if I got to move up a little bit, if I got to slow down a little bit, if I got to go to the right lane for a minute or the middle lane for a minute just to kind of let somebody pass and then get back in the left lane. If, you know, someone in front of me is slowing down, if their brake lights go on, if someone in front of me is driving like an idiot, if they're kind of just swerving in between lanes, if they're in one lane, or if they're kind of, you know, they're periodically like kind of swerving into the middle lane. If it's nighttime, if it's daytime, these things are all different. if there's people going too fast, like they're just like driving recklessly, I'm aware of that as well. And if cars start to get close to me, I'm waiting for them to do something stupid. Like I'm waiting for them to swerve into my lane so that I can be ready to swerve either, you know, further out into my lane or potentially speed up and kind of get away from them or slow down and just let them pass. Like they may be a drunk driver. They may be just some stupid younger kid who's going like 90 and 95 and whatever, just like in and out of the traffic. And he's texting the whole time. So he's all over the road. And he's going to hit somebody, or he's going to kill somebody, or he's going to kill himself, or he's going to hit somebody else, and then those two cars are going to hit me. And on a motorcycle, you can't really slow down. Like, you can't brake. The brakes aren't the same as a car. They're not as good as a car. You jam on your brakes, the whole backlight, the back tire, like, seizes up, and you kind of do, like, this swerving motion. I've done that a couple times. It's one of the scariest things ever, where it's like a slow motion thing like in the movies where you feel like you're gonna crash and the whole thing just like slides like left to right. It's really wacky. But there's all sorts of and then if I'm on like a regular road and you know there's other cars, this car's coming the opposite way as me and you know there's a double yellow line or whatever, I'm always looking at the car and seeing like if they're creeping up to that yellow line. If they're gonna cross over that line, which I've seen a few times and have some people done that, cross into my lane. If they cross into my lane and hit me head on, I'm dead on a motorcycle, 100%. I'm waiting for them. I'm seeing where they are, and I'm waiting for them to do something stupid like cross over that yellow, even just a little bit, because if I'm not paying attention and I'm hovering towards the left side of my lane, they're going to hit me head on, and I'm going to be dead. I'm aware of that at all times. I'm aware of them even sliding over a tiny bit and creeping up on that yellow because I'm going to move over to the right and give them space. So if they do happen to go over that yellow by a couple feet, I'm going to be a few more feet over on the right and I'm going to be perfectly fine. And I'm also, by the way, going to beep at them. And, or if it's at night, I'm going to flash my headlights, my headlight, I should say, because motorcycles usually just have one and mine has one. I'm going to flash my headlight, my high beams on them so that they know that, you know, they're fucking up and doing something stupid. But yeah, during the day, I'm going to beep at them. If they start to creep over that yellow, I'm beeping at them. I'm preemptive. I'm prepared for them. I'm waiting them for them to do something stupid because I'm aware of it. I'm aware of my environment. I'm ready for people before they even know what they're going to do. I'm ready for them to do something stupid. I'm driving on the same road, say, and there's a stop sign coming up ahead on, you know, from the right. I have the go ahead and I don't have a stop sign, but on both sides of me, say, to the right and to the left, there's, you know, a stop sign. And I see a car coming up to that stop sign. And I'm aware of them. And I'm ready for them to pull out in front of me and blow the stop sign. I'm ready for them to actually make a mistake and not stop fully or not see me potentially and just kind of like slowly stop and just blow through. Because some people just don't see motorcycles. There's a smaller frame, there's less space on a motorcycle than a car. There's just, you know, it's easy to miss a motorcycle. I know that. I'm aware of that. So I'm ready for this person to either blow that stop sign completely or kind of slow down and not see me and just blow out when I'm riding. Many people are just going to kind of keep driving because they don't have a stop sign. They're not going to be aware. They're like, all right, you know, it's actually the exact same concept of that girl. I'm thinking of a girl because the last person I saw in the college was a girl probably like 20 years old who was walking like Moses right out in front of traffic thinking that the entire world is going to stop just because she decided to walk and she thinks everyone's going to see her and she's going to be fine. And she's not even looking up at all. She's texting and walking through fucking traffic on a busy street. This is the same exact concept. You might not think it's as bad and it may be not as bad, but it's just as dangerous in many ways, if not more dangerous, because you're riding a motorcycle and you're putting your entire life in the hands of somebody else who might not even know you're there, might not even know you exist, or might be completely shit-faced, drunk, texting on their own, not paying attention. Maybe they didn't see the stop sign. Maybe they're from out of the city or out of the state and they didn't know that there was a stop sign there. And you're relying on what you think they should know, what you just you think that how life is. You just think like, all right, stop sign, people have to stop. That's the law. Everyone's going to follow it. No, you can't think that way. You got to prepare for the worst, especially in the case of a motorcycle, or especially in any case where your life potentially is on the line. You can't put your life in somebody else's hands like that who you don't even know. You don't even trust. You don't even, you've never come across this person. How could you trust them? and this happens all the time, by the way. This is the cause of like 99% of accidents, in my opinion, as far as motorcycles go. It's relying on other people to think what you think. You can't possibly think that everyone's going to think and do what you would do. And that's what happens, though. It happens all the time. It happens like you're putting your faith in somebody else. But you can't do that. You really can't. You got to put your faith in yourself. And you put your faith in yourself by going up and being aware, and I'm talking about motorcycle here, going up and being aware that this person might blow that stop sign, and you slow down. And you slow down like you might have been going 55, 60 miles an hour, but as you approach that stop sign, you slow down too. You don't necessarily have to stop, but you slow down to maybe 30 miles an hour. So if this person does blow that, you got enough time to jam on your brakes and be fine. You know, you're not gonna fishtail in that situation, you know, going 30. You're also not gonna hit that person, and that person's also not going to hit you if you're going that slow, maybe 25 or so, 25, 30. But if you're going 60 and you see them last second and they're blowing that stop sign, you're fucked. You're toast. They're going to either hit you or you're going to try to jam on your brakes. You're not going to have enough time. You're going to smash into them and you're probably going to die. But that's the awareness that you need. Same thing. And it's across the board. Like you use this, I'm talking motorcycles, but it's a good analogy because it's across the board. You can use this exact awareness in all aspects of your life. If you're not aware of what other people around you are thinking or doing, or what you think they're going to do, or preparing for what you think they're going to do, or understanding them and reading them and kind of knowing what they're going to do and preparing for that, you're really doing yourself a disservice. Across all aspects of your life, you're doing yourself a disservice. You got to have an elite awareness. You got to have an elite ability to process what's happening in your environment and then prepare for that to make the best decision and to keep yourself safe. As far as like just a couple quick examples, you got a dating example of texting. You know, texting, this used to happen all the time when I was coaching guys on dating and you know, texting. Guys would do this all the time. They would text not without understanding what their goal is and how the woman is going to respond to their text. So it's the same thing. They got to play chess here. You got to understand what the people are thinking that you're trying to either influence or get to or have favor over that person, like have success with that person. You got to understand what them. So guys would just like blindly send out these stupid texts all the time and to girls and they wouldn't be successful because there was no goal in mind. There was no end game to what they were doing. They were just kind of like throwing something out there and hoping it would stick and hoping that the woman would, you know, pick up the slack and carry the conversation for them. And it just never fucking worked. Women, first of all, women aren't like that. They want guys to be the leaders. They want guys to take the lead. They want guys to have a purpose for everything that they do. And in dating, it was just horrible seeing so many guys back in the day that would just send out the stupidest fucking texts, and they would go nowhere, and they wouldn't have no success with the texts until, you know, I would start to tell them that you need to have a goal, you need to have a purpose. Your texting can't just be you talking to one of your boys and like he's in person and throwing a bunch of bullshit at it, like throwing a bunch of bullshit at the wall and hoping things stick. You can't just send out stupid texts like that. You got to have a purpose. You got to understand what your text is going to convey from her, what her responses are most likely going to be. Obviously you can't read minds, but you can have a good idea if you prepare for these types of things, what she's going to say in return, what she's going to respond with, and how you can set things up, like how you can set up the date, how you can set up the thing, whatever you're going to do to hang out, to get together, how you can set up the next date after that, how you can set up, you know, the sexual chemistry and all that stuff that goes into you dating a woman and trying to gain her affection and, you know, potentially be with that woman. There's so many things that go into it, but you just throwing shit at the wall is not one of those things. It's not a path to success. The path to success is understanding her, understanding what you're trying to do, and understanding how you can win the chess game of that dating relationship. And if you're playing checkers, again, you're not going to fucking win. You're not going to win. So another example is in business. Sales is a good one. You really got to understand the customer, the person, or the prospect, I should say, not yet customer, but the prospect, and understand what they truly want, what that person really wants. What you got to plan ahead, understand their desires, understand their needs, understand what their real wants are. And then you got to convey to them, plan ahead to show how that product or service that you're selling fulfills their needs, desires. You got to understand that, though. You really got to understand the person. Again, it's being aware of that person. And in this case, it's being aware of that person's needs, desires, wants. What do they really want? They might be asking for something. They might be asking, you know, for coaching. They might be asking for vitamins. They might be asking for what, for a car. But what do they really want behind that car? What do they really want? When you sell them a Mercedes, are you selling them a bunch of steel and wheels and fresh paint and a nice car smell? Are you selling them those things, or are you actually selling them I'm not a car salesman, so I'm drawing a blank here, but are you actually selling them like a way to live, a way to show status? Basically, I mean, people that get Mercedes aren't people that drive like Toyotas. There's two different types of people there. People that drive Mercedes want to have a certain status about them. They want to convey a certain message to their peers, to their friends, to the people they know at work. They want to show that they, you know, are cool, that they have money, that they're a baller, etc. Like, those are the things. You're not selling them the Mercedes. You're selling them that idea of giving them status, of giving them that baller type of mindset. Same thing with any like fancy car, Audis and Lexuses and all those types of things. And of course, Ferraris and, you know, the big ones. But that's what you're selling them. And you got to understand your customer. You got to understand what they really want at the end of the day. If you're coaching them, what do they really want? What do they really want? Do they want to, you know, date women, or do they want to find a wife? Do they want to have, you know, that love? Do they want to get married? What are their goals? What are the real goals behind what they say they want? Sometimes they say they want something, but they really don't know deep down what they're actually asking for. You got to understand what they're actually asking for, and then you can plan ahead. You can be aware of what they really want, and you can plan ahead to get what you want, to sell them your service or whatever else it is you're selling. And safety is like the last thing I wanted to mention for an example. Knowing your environment, we talked about this, know if it's safe, people around you, reading their body language, decipher if they're a threat or if you have to remove yourself from them. And, you know, so all these are examples of awareness and being aware of your environment and around you. And again, I wanted to mention that the safety thing, the safety thing is so important right now with what's happening. And that's my biggest takeaway for you today. There's so many things I talked about in this episode, but the one thing I want to make sure is that you are aware of what is happening in the U.S. right now, and the potential of your environment getting pretty scary and pretty dangerous in the next couple of months, and being aware and being prepared for that. You got to prepare for it. You got to understand what's happening. You got to understand what's out there. What you're going to potentially, again, this may never happen, hopefully it never does, but potentially be up against, especially if you live in one of the bigger cities, by the way, or any city, any major city. You got to be, I mean, if you're in the outskirts and, you know, live in Vermont or something, you're probably not going to face any present danger in the next couple of months. Maybe you will, but most likely you wouldn't. But if you're in a major city, you definitely got to be aware of this shit, for sure. But get out of the bubble. Get out of your bubble, focus on what's in front of you, and be present when these things are happening. Be more aware of what's happening around you. Don't be that girl walking and texting and jumping out in front of traffic. Don't be the guy riding the motorcycle who blindly, you know, just rides around living life and loving life because he's, you know, feels free until he gets fucking creamed and he's on somebody's windshield. Don't be that guy. And by the way, the reason I am a better driver today, I'm actually a really good driver. I don't just say that. A lot of people say they're a good driver. I'm a really damn good driver. But the reason I'm a really good driver is because I took all this awareness about riding a motorcycle and applied it to driving a car. I'm just as aware driving the car as I am on a motorcycle. I'm thinking about every little thing out there, every little thing that somebody's doing around me. I'm focusing on it. I'm preparing for it. I know this guy's going to do something stupid. I'm ready to go right around him. You know, if this guy is doing something stupid, I go around him. You know, if he might be a drunk guy, I don't want to be behind a drunk guy. I'm going to pass that guy and just, you know, screw off and be gone with it. I don't want to be around somebody texting that's swerving all over the road. I don't want to be that guy because that guy's going to hit me. I don't even want to be around anybody, to be quite honest. So I separate myself from different cars when I'm driving all the time. I don't like being around different cars. I don't like being around anybody. Again, because that's when accidents happen. It's not going to happen for me just, you know, losing the wheel and crashing off the side of the road like in some movie that you see. It's going to happen from somebody doing something stupid and causing an accident and me being a part of that accident. That's where the dangers really are. But I think that's kind of covers everything I wanted to cover. Being aware, having this elite awareness and applying it in every part of your life is one of the most important things you can do for the safety of yourself, for the safety of your loved ones, and for the success that you want to have in your life. But that's it for today, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. A little bit different than what we've done in the past, but I do think I think it was pretty good. I think overall we covered a lot of good topics, and it's very, like I said, very relevant to what's happening right now. And the biggest takeaway I wanted to share with you is to prepare for the next couple of months. I hope it doesn't get really bad, and you know, hopefully it doesn't get really bad. Hopefully it does not get really bad, but I'm prepared for it, and I want you to be prepared for it as well. But that's it for today, guys. Make sure you check out the elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter. Get all the information, all the content that you need. Will never be censored on a newsletter, so make sure you sign up for the Elite Man newsletter. Also, check out the book, elitemindbook.com. If you haven't ordered the book yet, it's an incredible book. Audiobook is out as well. elitemindbook.com. Get Elite Mind. Think more like and have more of this elite mind that we talked about today and this elite awareness. I mentioned that in the book as well. So that's it for today, guys. Talk to you very soon, and we'll talk to you next week. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I'd like you to do, and that's this. Subscribe to our podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast episodes and all of our world-class advice absolutely free. Subscribe now if you haven't already and become an Elite Man today. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an amazing review. We really do appreciate it.